1989. I'm in the home of Cloyce and Dorothy Myers, and we're going to be talking this morning about their experiences when they moved to Northville. They came at different times, and this is for our Oral Histories Project. This is Francis Durham. I'm the interviewer. Okay, the tape was okay, so we're going to continue the interview. Let's make sure this tape is running. It is. Okay, Cloyce, you came to Northville when you were 13 years old. And tell me where you came from.
I came from Shepherd, Michigan, approximately 120 miles north of Northville, between Elm and Mount Pleasant.
Okay, and that was in 1931.
31.
Okay, and then you continued to live in Northville until the war came along, and then you went into the service.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Dorothy, you were considerably old, not considerably older, you were older. You were 19 years old when you came to Northville. And where did you come from?
I came from Detroit.
Okay. And you lived where in Detroit?
On Prairie Avenue.
And went to high school there?
I went to Cooley High School.
Okay. And graduated in?
1935.
Okay. And so you were 19 years old when you came to Northville from Detroit, and that was in 1939. Why Northville? How did your family happen to choose Northville?
We had friends that had moved out here, and then we were taking a drive on a Sunday afternoon and came into Northville, and it was such a peaceful, lovely town, quiet, that we decided this is where we wanted to live.
Uh-huh. And Cloyce, how did your folks happen to decide on coming to Northville?
Well, my older sister graduated from Shepherd in 1928, and she came down here and worked from Uncle, and she and one more or less got us to come down here. And when we first arrived, she had a house on Center Street where we first lived.
Uh-huh. And then you lived there in that home?
We lived there in that home until we moved to Beale Street.
Uh-huh.
And Beale Street, we lived there until I finished high school, until I graduated from high school from Northville in 1935.
Okay. Okay, now Dorothy, you came in 1939, and then it was in 1942 that you were married.
That's right.
Okay. How long did you go together, or how long had you known each other before you were married?
Since about 1939, shortly after we moved here.
Okay, so you went together a few years before marriage, and it wasn't one of these meet 1 week and get married weeks later.
No. We were married in Hartford, Connecticut, and right after the war broke out, and it was 14 below zero. We married on January the 7th. And it was pretty cold.
Oh, boy. Okay, now, we're going to talk a little bit about Cloyce, particularly yours, because you were in school here longer. Dorothy had already graduated from high school before she came to Northville. You were 13 years old. Now, were the elementary, junior high, and high school classes all in one building, or did they have separate buildings when you came at that time?
Well, they had a separate building for those up to the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And it burned down. It was south of the original school up there on Main Street.
Yeah.
And then they had the seventh and eighth in the high school. Seventh and eighth was on the first floor and some classroom for the high school, but the high school was mostly on the top floor.
Okay. All right, so you spent your school career all in one building?
Yes.
And from the time you started until the time you graduated?
Yes, from the high school, yes.
Okay. Were there any what you consider to be outstanding teachers that you recall, or any particular courses, or how did you feel your education in Northville? Was it a good education?
Yes, it was quite good. Mr. Ehrman was a principal when I first come here. Mr. Knapp was a superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left, of course, Mr. Ehrman took over. There's only one, actually, course I didn't really care for. That was American Lit, or English Literature. Algebra, geometry, and all that I enjoyed because I was more mathematical inclined, I guess. And I played sports. In my senior year, our basketball team was undefeated.
Were you on the basketball team?
I was on the basketball. I was on the football, basketball, baseball, and did track at the last year.
Very good. So you were very much sports-oriented.
And we had a number of outstanding athletes at the time. And in my junior year, we had a football team. At that time, I think we outweighed the University of Michigan. Because we had some big boys here, like Nelson Schrader, who was 235. Chuck Strauss was 235. Dundas, his dad was a manager at Meadowbrook, he was 231. Paul Baldwin was around 220. Nick Risco was up around 212 or so. And my junior year, I weighed about 208, so I was a long ways from the top weight man.
You're growing some pretty big boys out here in Northville. Now, were any of these fellows, any of them lived on farms? Or do they all live in town?
No. There's some of them lived on farms.
Yeah.
Nick Risco. Bill Owen was another football player. He lived down at Five Points, what they call it. Yeah. Not Five Points, Farmington Road.
Oh, yeah.
And Dayton Deal lived in town. Irv Marburger. Father was superintendent of Ford factory here. He lived over there on the corner of Main Street and Gridville.
Uh-huh.
And Don Bray, parents at the time lived out on 8 Mile. They lived on a farm. And, well, let's see, Paul Baldwin, of course, his parents owned a record at the time.
Uh-huh.
At the record.
Northville Record.
Northville Record.
Yeah.
And Schrader, of course, his parents had a funeral parlor and the furniture place.
Right.
And that's about all I can, the one played, of course. Oh, Eddie Bender, yeah. His dad was a foreman down here and a thing, and he was in a one of our outstanding members of our class, because he's kept us together in reunions.
Mm-hmm.
And he really goes forward in that. And I'm on a committee of our reunions at the present time. And we're about due to have another one. We've had probably more reunions than any other class.
How big was your graduating class? How many
our
students?
Our class was 59.
59 students.
And we have, I think there's about 10 of them had passed on already.
Uh-huh.
And Bill Dugan, he's one of them, and he played sports with us. Eddie Angle, his father was, I think he was a doctor, and I don't know if he's out training school or just where he was at.
Uh-huh.
He worked at, but Eddie was in our class. Tom Carrington, his father owned an insurance place here. He was in our class. He was president of our class. And some of the prominent girls, Winnie McCardle, whose husband just passed away, Mr. Mummery.
Uh-huh.
And Sally Richardson, who lives up to the senior.
Alan Harris.
Harris. And Marion Turnbull, her father had the electric shop up in Northville. And Christensen, her parents lived out in the country on 9 Mile. It's hard to remember just all of them right now without going back through it. I know on our 50th class reunion, I saw three of them that I hadn't seen much of, or in fact, I don't remember ever seeing him since I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronald Keeping was one, and he ended up pretty wealthy. He lives in Tennessee now, in a big estate. And he I think he handled insurance and,
mm-hmm.
and real estate and stuff. Dayton Deal, I think he lives up north there in a place when they moved up. Her Marburger still lives in town.
Now, what reunion's coming up? How many years?
Well, 35 would be, this year would make it 54.
54. You going to wait till the 55 and have one at 55 years?
Well, I don't know. We were supposed to have one, I thought, 2 years after our 50th.
Oh.
They said they were going to have one closer because everybody's getting older.
That's right.
Yeah, they said we're missing some each time we have one, so
yeah.
If we're going to keep at it, we better keep at it oftener so that we can see them as late as we can.
Yeah. Well, so this was a pretty closely knit group then.
It was then, yes. Yeah. The town was a village and as I stated, that flabbergasted me when I come back to it, and now it's actually expanded much more. At the time, I think our village only had a small population, although when they come out with it, don't multiply like to me they should, because all the farmland
mm-hmm.
now is in homes and
right.
condominiums.
Right.
And places that we used to hunt up Center Street just beyond where the telephone building, we used to go there and hunt birds and rabbits and stuff. And so it's all building now.
So the village itself was a relatively small area.
Small area.
You didn't have to go too far than you were out in the country.
Right. We used to have more or less south side. I lived on the south side when I lived in Beale Town, and we played the north side and scrub game football or baseball or something like that. And trying to see who was the toughest, I guess you might say, as kids. And of course, and our class had a booth down to our Wayne County Fair, which we had at that time in high school. And the boys that played sports usually stayed there at night to make it secure.
Yeah.
Some of us pretty good size, so no one bothered us too much on that recording.
What did you have at the booth?
Well, they had eating and different eating.
Oh, it was a food concession?
Food, yes.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And then that was used as a fundraiser for your class?
For our class trip.
Yeah.
Now, they took our class trip. See, when we played sports, our coach, Ted Watts,
uh-huh.
who ended up as our coach in my last 2 years, Ruggles was the coach. Prior to that,
mm-hmm.
when he left, Ted Watts had just graduated from Albion. He was a little All-America
mm-hmm.
football player, and he came and took over. But he didn't allow us to take in anything such as the plays and stuff that we went through class to get hours. And anything you worked for the class, you got hours, and the money went in, and you worked toward hours and how much you had toward your trip to Washington, which they went to. So. I didn't go with the class. I think I was short very, very few hours, but Melvin Keegan, Dayton Deal, and Irv Marburg and I drove through to Washington, met the class there.
Oh, okay.
And we joined them, and they asked us to join Mr. Ehrman and class president to join them on the trip, so we paid for the special trip to Washington that we wanted to go on. Others we didn't bother, and we stayed outside of Washington in a flat, more or less.
Now, this would be called like a senior class trip?
This is right after graduation.
After graduation, so the trip would take place after graduation.
Yeah, trip to Washington.
And did some of the teachers and counselors or administrators go along as chaperones?
They did. Mr. Ehrman and Mrs. Ehrman were chaperone, and Mrs. Cook was a chaperone for our class.
And Mrs. Cook was who, one of the teachers?
She was, she more or less run the whole junior high, which is 7th and 8th.
Ah, okay.
She's well noted here, and Cook School is named after
okay.
her.
Okay, so she would be like an administrator of the 7th and 8th grade then?
Right. See, I think she had more or less all of that. And Mr. Ehrman had always attended our reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Thompson attended our reunions. He's passed on now. He was the shop teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a baseball coach. We used to call him Glass Arm. Because he used to pitch batting practice. And Miss Palmer was also attended all she could until
Okay, and what was she? She was a teacher?
Yeah, she was a teacher too. She was a
Miss Palmer.
English teacher.
Uh-huh. So it was really, because it was a small town, it was also a very close-knit. I mean, you know, the teachers would attend activities as much as parents. Well, let's talk about some of those. For example, a football game or a basketball game, I would think in a small town would be quite a social activity.
Yes, we had quite a good following there. Now, we played football inside the track, which is now the harness track down here at Northville. We played inside of that.
Uh-huh.
Later on, they went to, after we graduated, they went on Ford Field. They went out to the park. They went to Ford Field and stayed there until they went up to the new present location of right. Football Field
right.
off 8 Mile. But it was quite a bit of rocks and glass down there when we used to play, and we also played baseball there.
Uh-huh.
Our basketball was in the gym of the school on Main Street, and we had a track which took 26 laps to the mile.
Mm-hmm.
So if you kind of goofed around and the coach didn't like it, you took 10 laps, but you never got to take just 10 laps. You had the manager wait till you got at least 50, then you run. And if you swore or something on the football field, you had to wear your helmet and carry a football and go around the half-mile track twice. So you kind of watched what you said down there, and you didn't talk to you. Remember, you weren't going to put any swearing words into the
talk. Okay, well, would you say then that there was a definite discipline, but it was not, it was the kind of discipline that you really benefited from?
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of horseplay in school.
Not too much. Now, they had like Halloween, we'd have some different things, but we weren't as destructive as they were today.
Yeah.
They used to talk about the outdoor houses.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple got tipped over, but it was nothing that breaking up the building, setting it on fire, or anything like they do now, or knocking down mailboxes, running across beautiful lawns with cars. Of course, we didn't have that many cars in either.
Yeah.
It was lucky to have one person have a car, all of us go some event for it. Now, we didn't have buses to take us to the sporting event.
Uh-huh.
We usually got rides with individuals that was driving their cars.
Okay, would parents provide transportation?
Well, some parents or friends would provide. I know at the basketball games, I rode this fellow that lived on Peel Street with me, and across the street or down the street from me, and he went to all the games. I rode most of the time with him.
Yeah,
but we didn't. We weren't. You might say had the conveniences they do not today's athletes.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk with Dorothy just for a few minutes here. Now, you were 19 when you came. You'd already graduated from high school. You went to Cooley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then did you go to work?
Yes.
You moved here with your parents. Okay, and tell us where you worked,
well,
what you
I
did.
Well, I worked at Taylor & Blyton in Plymouth. That was a department store.
Uh-huh.
And I worked there. In fact, I was in charge of buying some of the product. And I worked there until I was married. Then I went to work at the bomber plant.
And the bomber plant would have been after the outbreak of the war, so that would have been sometime after 1941.
Right.
Okay.
And we were married in 1942. No, I take that back. I didn't go to work until after I was married.
Uh-huh.
There. And I worked there until I had my first child.
Uh-huh.
And then I haven't worked since.
And what was your job at the bomber plant?
I riveted and drilled on the wing of the B-24.
All right, so the song about Rosie the Riveter would be something that you were very familiar
right,
with.
Very familiar with. We had to wear helmets and goggles, and we had to dress in slacks and You didn't ever wear a dress, though. You wore pants and because you had to do a lot of climbing.
Right, right. Would you say that most of the employees at that Willow Run bomber plant were women?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or fellows who, for one reason
right.
or another, were not in the service.
Right. Mostly the men were foremen,
yeah.
bosses. And
yeah. Old.
Yeah.
Tend
mostly,
to be older.
Mostly women.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then you worked two different locations, but then you were married. Now, Cloyce, you went into the service in 1941,
right,
with the outbreak of the war. Tell me about that. I think you mentioned that you were in the National Guard.
I was in the National Guard from 1933 to 1940.
Uh-huh.
And then I went into the service and went up to Camp Grant first, and then was transferred to Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Uh-huh.
And went through the basic training there, and then we were assigned to different locations. We tried to select places, and I got assigned to a place called Windsor Locks, and I thought I was going with the Navy, talking about locks. And I got up there, and I found it was an airfield, a couple miles outside of Windsor Locks, which is about 12 miles from Hartford.
Uh-huh.
And found out that the field was wide open, no fence around it and everything. You didn't have to worry about it. They did have guards at the gate, but I couldn't see what that helped a lot. You could cross a lot over, and they didn't have any buses, so you hitched right to the, you went to town, you just hitched a ride, and there were plenty of people out there waiting to take in and military, because we were quite new around Hartford.
Yeah.
And going to town, and people were very friendly toward us, and treat us something like you might say is you're new in the area. We never had that much military around, and they enjoyed it apparently, because they sure take you to dinner, have dances, and they had dances there where from the different insurance companies and Travelers and Aetna, and the women were, if they were married, they selected, I mean, they drew out of a hat who could go, and if
yeah.
they were married, they weren't allowed to wear any rings there, and they usually put on their class ring to cover up their wedding ring, and then they introduce you by each coming down a one come down one stairway, and one come down another, and who you happen to end up, you dance the first time.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. Huh. All right, now, did you go into the service right out of high school, or did
no,
you?
No,
or
no.
What did you do after graduation?
Well, I worked at Nova Equipment Company, and I mean, different odd jobs for a while till I finally got into Nova Equipment Company, and I worked in the shipping department there, and then they laid off a few, approximately 1940, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I went down to the Rouge plant, worked in a B building, which is someone Jeeps and stuff.
Ford Rouge.
And Ford Rouge.
Okay, where was Novi Equipment Company located?
It was over there at Novi, on Novi Road, just past the railroad tracks for you. There's Novi before you got the Grand River there, just right on the right. I don't know what it's called.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
It was quite a big company there. And my owner there had race cars for the Indianapolis.
Huh?
He actually had the fastest, but they never seemed to finish the race. They were the fastest cars at the time.
What do they manufacture? What?
Over there, they manufactured heaters and things.
For automotive?
Yeah, for automotive. For the companies, different companies that they supplied to.
Then how long did you work at the Rouge plant?
Oh, I didn't work there too long. I worked there until it got pretty hot about the union.
Yeah.
And I was considered what they call a marked man, because I got in trouble with some of the fellas that were trying to push the union there. So I just went into personnel and told them, and they interviewed me, and I agreed to tell them what my problem was, and they hand me a badge, and I come out to Northville Valve Plant.
Oh, okay.
And I worked there until I went into the service.
Okay. Okay, how long did you work in the Northville Valve Plant?
Up until April 1941.
How many employees do you, if you remember, how many employees did they have at the valve plant at that time?
We had three shifts. So I would probably say in the neighborhood of 500-600 employees, I suppose.
Okay. And right now, the valve plant is just kind of operating as a, well, I understand they make plastic gas tanks, although now they're talking about
doing away with that.
Doing away
with that. No, they're made steel ones, I think, and they're going to do away with this job because they're going to plastic.
Uh-huh.
Or vice versa. I don't know which, I think. But they volunteered after they closed up the plant.
Yeah.
I understand it's supposed to be closed in the next year.
Yeah. And, of course, the city of Northville doesn't want to let that happen because of the revenue
tax purposes, right?
Right. Was that a pretty good place to work, at Valve Plant?
Yes, I'll tell you. But, they used to, on Friday night, scrub the floors, and they were so clean because it was in a block light that I think you could eat right off the floors. But when I came back after the war, I went through there, I was walking, I had to wear goggles and everything, I had to walk in oil from the machines then.
Hmm.
And they didn't take care of it at all like they did before I went in. It was immaculate when we left on Friday night. They had certain men that worked the whole 8-hour shift just mopping and cleaning up the plant. It was really a clean place to work at that time.
Was the water wheel in operation when you were working there?
Oh, yes.
All right. And it was actually a functioning water wheel?
Well, I don't know.
Or was it a decorative kind of thing?
Well, I don't know just what they used it all for at the time when I worked there.
Yeah.
Because they it was running. Now, whether they used it for cooling purposes, that's something I don't know. I don't think they had it for electricity.
They have all those ducks and geese?
Oh, no, we didn't have any.
None of that.
That was all happened since I've retired. That the men, I understand, that when I was talking with them when I was on the mail route, told me that the employees used to chip in and pay for the feed until they got it in a contract, and I can't believe it. Contractor made with Ford to include feeding the ducks and geese. I was surprised when I heard that.
I'm assuming that was done more or less as kind of a tourist attraction because the water wheel was there. Who came up with the idea of having
all
these ducks?
I don't know, because this was done long, long after.
Yeah.
I was even retired from service.
Yeah.
I retired back in 63. And this did take effect then.
Okay, so then you leave the Ford plant to enlist in the service. You were not enlist because you were already in the National Guard. You went on active duty.
But I didn't go into the Guard. No, I volunteered.
Yeah.
To go, and when I enlisted, and I spent till right after war, and I come out for 1 year, and then I went back in.
Ah, okay. You took a discharge?
Yes, right after war is when they cut them down, as they always do after
the
war.
Yeah.
And I was discharged at Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah.
And I went back to Ford because you could pick up your job. And when I left and when I come back, I was a setup man.
Yeah.
And I had improved to get up to that level. And then they called me back in the service and 48.
Uh-huh. During that 1 year
February.
That you were out, did you come back to Northville?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I came back. I came back to Northville, and at that time we had a home, our own home on the corner of Carpenter and 8 Mile,
mm-hmm.
of which my wife's dad had moved there and we fixed up
mm-hmm.
while I was in the service.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you were recalled by the service and went back in and then made a career out of it.
I stayed there then until I retired.
And retired.
And I traveled many bases, and just too many to Went to Denver Service School and stuff, and it seemed like I'd just get out of one, and I was heading for another one.
How many years in military time did you have?
I ended up including my guard time with 29 years and 221 days.
Okay.
Right down to it.
Okay, now, when Cloyce went into the service, Dorothy, you were not able to go with him originally, so I'm assuming you stayed...
She wasn't married.
Ah, this was...
No, I was living home.
You weren't married then?
No.
Okay, so how long after Cloyce went into the service did you get married?
We were in 42, January 1942.
And you went in 41.
Okay.
What a year.
Yeah.
And I continued to stay, live at home.
Live at home, and that's when you were working at the bomber plant. Okay. And then you were eventually able to join Cloyce.
Yes, but not until after the war.
After the war. Okay, so you stayed at home, lived here in Northfield all that time.
Most of the war. Only it just went on for whenever he had leave time, I would go and visit, but I did not come.
Okay. Okay, and then you've had four children. Your oldest son is George. When was he born?
He was born in May 1943.
43, so that was 2 years after you went into the service.
Right.
And then you had Richard and Deborah and Dave and David over a period of years.
Richard was born in 1949 in New York at Mitchell Field. And Debbie was born at Selfridge Air Force Base in 1953. And David was born at Selfridge in 1959.
Okay.
So I had my children spread out.
George was born in Sessions Hospital.
He was the only one that I didn't have in a military hospital.
Okay, then did you live on the base, or did you have off-base housing when your wife was with
no,
you?
No, we had to buy off-base housing. I never got on-base housing, actually, until we went to Newton.
Okay, now you were, what, a second lieutenant, first lieutenant?
First, I was first lieutenant.
First lieutenant.
I mean, no, I was second lieutenant, yeah. Then I went to first lieutenant,
yeah.
But by the time when she finally joined me, I was a first lieutenant.
Okay. Now, would you be called, would your title be aviation ground officer? Is that what you were called?
Well, yes, I was a ground officer. I was ordnance officer first, and then I went through Lowry and becoming an ordnance and armament officer for the group. And I had both jobs.
I joined him in Newfoundland. We lived in Newfoundland for almost 2 years.
Uh-huh. How'd you like that?
Oh, very much.
Good.
Very nice.
Good.
Very, ever very hot.
It was quite like Michigan weather.
Yeah.
Except a little bit more windier.
Yeah.
Winters was not much more severe
than
parts of Michigan. Quite a bit. Couldn't go swimming because the water was never warm enough to actually go swimming. And
I came back and went to Florida.
Eglin.
Air Force Base. And then we came back to Michigan, and he was stationed in recruiting down in Detroit on Fort Wayne.
And then was that when you is that when you retired?
No. No, that was in 1953. I was a test officer at Eglin. And then I came up here to recruiting at Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
And come up here, and I figured not a 2 year tour, but I ended up here 4 years. And then I had the force factory to get out of here, and then I went from here to Selfridge.
Yeah.
And from Selfridge, I went over to Japan, Okinawa.
But I didn't go there.
She wasn't with me. And then after my tour ended in Okinawa, I was stationed at Travis Air Force Base. Now I was with the base, within the base, we were in our AMC at Wright-Patterson, and I was with Atomic Energy at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they closed that, we worked underground.
Yeah.
We had quite a few passes to get in there, and we had quite a bit of security.
Yeah.
And then the last year I was in, they closed that, and I transferred over to the main base at Travis. and I had the ranges, firing ranges and stuff like that, checking out pilots to get qualified overseas,
mm-hmm.
for overseas tour and such. And then I retired in July 1963.
Okay. During times when he was overseas and you weren't able to join him, were you back here in the Northville area, Dorothy, or did...
No, I stayed at Selfridge when he was in Okinawa.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I had, while he was over there, was when I had my youngest child.
Yeah,
I had
okay.
him at Selfridge.
Okay.
And he didn't see him until he was a year old.
Uh-huh.
And then, where else did I... That's about it, wasn't it? I never came to Northville until we moved on.
No, we had base housing at Selfridge, and then when I left to go to sea, we moved into an apartment at Mount Clemens, and
uh-huh.
we stayed right there.
Okay, so eventually you retired from the Air Force in 1963, and then decided to come back here. Why did you decide to come back to Northville?
Well, we didn't come right back to Northville, then
uh-huh.
we moved to
Garden City.
We bought a home in Garden City.
Okay, and how long did you live there?
Well, we lived there when they... Let's see, let's...
When you came out of the service, we rented in Garden City.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Right. We rented in Eliza Street.
In 1965, they were going to sell the house, so we came out to Northville.
Okay, and decided to come back here. Okay.
We've been here ever since.
Okay, okay, so not since 1965. Okay, now, I know that you went to work for the post office. Was it in 1965 that you went to work for them?
66.
66, okay.
And I worked there to December, to December 20, my birthday in December in 78.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, I started there just prior, you might say, in the latter part of 65, but
uh-huh.
by the time I officially got underway there, I was 66.
Uh-huh.
And after I retired there, of course, while I was working there, we moved here to King's Mill,
uh-huh.
and we have lived here now, it'll be 20 years this June.
Okay, you were an inside or outside? Were you a letter carrier?
I was a letter carrier.
Letter carrier.
Oh yes, I had the roots. Now I work, I'm glad I'm not working there now because it's not to my liking up there, but the roots, we had much bigger roots than I have now.
Yeah.
I had as high as 679, and I walked.
Yeah, no trucks there.
Well, we had trucks
to drive around.
I had a truck at one minute. I got where I went out 7 miles to Maryland and Maxwell and the hospital and stuff.
Yeah.
I did those, but I walked the business section.
Uh-huh.
I had the business section, and then they took off the 7 mile and gave me King's Mill. When they had to have so many units here built before they started the route here.
Yeah.
And then as they kept improving, we finally ended up with 455 here.
Uh-huh. Mill.
And I had the business plus King's Mill.
Uh-huh.
So I had a business. You carry quite a bit of mail.
Yeah.
And I had both of those until I retired, actually.
Now, you were in a position, both of you, in a position having been gone from Northville for a period of years and then coming back and eventually settling down here, you saw a lot of changes, a lot of things that were different.
Very
from
much so.
The time that, Boyce, you came in 1931 and Dorothy, you came in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
Just comment about the... what you saw is a lot of big differences that occurred from the time you first came to Northville.
Well, we saw Northville become a city, and this become the township.
Uh-huh.
And that covers a lot of space. And we saw these parks that were, this was all park.
Uh-huh.
Here where this condominium
Cass
is
Benton
now.
Park. This was all Cass Benton
Park. That
yeah.
all changed.
Uh-huh.
And also, used to be farms just outside of the Northville. It's now all residential.
Right.
Home, condominium, apartments and such. Yeah. And that down 7 Mile used to be farms is all built up now. And it just expanded just like Northville, part of the suburb of Detroit, was attached to them by building.
Yeah.
It just continues building, and I don't know why they allow building so much to take up all the open space.
Yeah.
I was glad to see them keep Mayberry, at least as a park, at least they got some space there. But I'm not enthused because I like Northville. At the time I came, it was small. I expected to grow some, but I didn't expect them to modernize it to where it's supposed to be a city that supposed to keep its historical in. But more or less now they've changed the streets and everything, and especially that clock up there. I'm not enthused. There's a clock in the middle of the road. And different parking areas that they implanted flowers and small shrubbery and stuff. They make it attractive, but we lost a lot of parking.
Find different is that when I first moved to Northville, you could walk uptown at night perfectly safe.
Yeah.
You never locked your doors.
Yeah.
And now you wouldn't, I wouldn't walk uptown. If I lived where I lived then, I wouldn't walk uptown at night.
Yeah. Because of the change of the residents, the character of...
because of the way the world has become.
Yeah.
It's not safe anymore to walk anywhere.
Well, you could go uptown back in the old days, and you knew about everyone there you met on the street.
Right.
And you go uptown today, and if you walk through town 5 times, you're lucky if you met 2 you knew. I mean, it's a change of personnel that come from other areas that incorporated in town. Of course, a lot of our citizens has departed us, passed on, and a lot of them has moved away, such as Florida and such places as that.
Right.
But it's hard to see someone you used to know. And I know Joe Spagnuolo is one that stayed here.
Yeah.
And Lappin's, you might say, has been here for some time. Fridell's.
Yeah.
Fridell's has been here. The other places has all changed.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we were commenting before we put the tape on, and it kind of ties into what you're saying. You said, for example, when you first came, there was just a one-man police force.
That's right.
Just describe what Northville was like in terms of government and regulations and that kind of thing when you came to Northville.
Well, it was a mayor-type government at the time, and I don't know if they had councilmen in or not. I don't believe they did. We sure didn't have a manager. And that took over not many years ago on the manager type government here, but I know from the mayor part why at that time the size of Northville, we had no problems at all. Actually, the one-man police force took care of it very well, and they used to have a light up there at the corner of our Gundle's drugstore. Used to be in it. Light was on whether he knew he had to answer the phone to go someplace. And fire department was volunteer, same as it is today.
Yeah.
And but now I don't know how big the police force is here, because I know that it's mammoth from what we
know. Well, they have township and the city now.
Right. You got the Northville City Police and the Northville Township
Police. Right.
As well as the fire department. And
one thing helped a little bit of security here is having a state police post nearby,
mm-hmm.
which you can get assistance from and real close.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a tremendous change, and I know that someone had moved away in the 30s and came back here now, they wouldn't even know Northville.
All right.
Well, we belong to the Presbyterian Church. I joined the Presbyterian Church in 1939.
Uh-huh.
I came from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And we've lived here all these years. We've always gone to the Presbyterian Church, so we know an awful lot of people through the church.
Sure.
And we've seen 2 or 3 different ministers. And
how many?
2 or 3.
Wait a more than that.
Not very many.
Great sound. There was one during the war that used to had the lines at the football field. I didn't know him too well because I was in service.
Yeah.
I just saw him when he came back.
Yeah.
And
Brazier,
and they had they had two before him, and then they have Chamberlain now, and they went up to three ministers.
Yeah.
Which is quite a surprise, I mean,
yeah,
for the size of the church. I didn't.
Comparing, you had three of your children graduate from Northville High School.
Right.
Okay. Compare their education to your education. Of course, you started in the eighth grade. Were
no,
they
I started in ninth.
Ninth grade, okay. Well, they went all the way through, didn't they?
Well, only
off
one.
Only
the
one.
The youngest one went all the way through.
Uh-huh. See a big difference in the kind of education that they got as compared to what you got?
Well, they call them different names now, a different subject.
Yeah.
Is all. Personally, I don't think they get the math that we got. Maybe they end up like that, but writing and spelling and stuff is nothing like when we had school.
Yeah.
And even in junior high, before I came here,
yeah,
I went through all the Palmer Method writing book.
Right.
Used to be a pretty good writer, but now I'm...
You've gotten away from the basics, that's the bad part.
Yeah.
I think reading, writing, arithmetic has going into something else, and they have not, to me, have quite a few, most of them, I should say. There's a few probably still could get along.
What I find now with our grandchildren coming along is going to be computers.
Oh, yes. Huh? Oh, yes. I've got a three-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter that knows computers. So.
Yeah.
And I don't know computers.
We've got some, too. That's what they want now for Christmas, computers.
Yeah. When you were in high school, did you follow what would be called a college prep program or a business program or a general program?
Yes, in some respects. Now, if you're going to go to college and take certain things such as English Lit or thing. Now, I took geometry, but they did not teach trigonometry.
Yeah.
And I tried to go to West Point, and that's what held me back with trigonometry.
Yeah.
And Mr. Harmon had volunteered to teach me so that I could make the entrance.
Yeah.
I was the only one of 30 that passed a physical at that time. And they called me for the examination before Mr. Harmon got me in the other. They called it sooner than they said they would.
Yeah.
They said we'd have 6 or 7 months prior to the examination, but we didn't have. They called me within a month and a half.
Yeah.
So I lost out. I lost out there actually.
Yeah.
On it, and it was a rugged physical. It took me all day just on physical. I spent 3 hours or something on your eyes alone.
Mm.
And they had my eyes pretty blurry, but then I got through.
Well, so. You know, you feel that when we're talking about education, that where there was a lot of stress on basics, that there's many more things today that are offered,
and
including, you say, your grandchildren, computers now,
Well, I would say the classes now are not the size that we had. I mean, of course, we didn't have as many in school, but we didn't have as many teachers.
Yeah.
And therefore, our classes was bigger accordingly than what they are today with the number of teachers. And our class advisors were regular teachers, and I understand some of them now they have up there now. That's what they do, certain interviewing children. The students and such, and I don't know if they've got other the same jobs, you know, regular, such as being a history teacher or being a math teacher or being an English teacher. I think they have so many more now that I know Mr. Harmon